Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodrigue, and with me, as always, my fabulous co-host, Rich Hammond. Rich, how we doing?
Doing well, Jordan. I look at the date here, and it's June 28th as we record, and training camp is like right around the corner. I know I say this every year, but I just can't believe how quickly the NFL offseason goes and how close we are to football again. So, Jordan, how are you doing? And are you going to be able to take some downtime here? Because you know how it goes. Once training camp starts, the roller coaster starts, and you don't get off. So how are you doing? And are you gonna be refreshed and re-energized by the time training camp comes around?
Yeah, you know what, Rich? I'm pretty excited. And I think that as human beings and as professionals in this field, like, I think that one thing that we need to maybe talk about more is how we force ourselves to take breaks. Yeah. Or the fact that we need to force ourselves to take breaks. I remember you and I talked last year, and it was about this time that I had started my drive across the country. I was freaking out, as you recall, and had thrown everything in the car, including the dog, who was quite a great co-pilot. I think I've told that story before.
Yes.
But we were releasing stories like as I was on the road, right? And it was because we just wanted to hit the ground running, both of us as a team, like as a tandem. We just really wanted to hit the ground sprinting and try to carve out a special place in the hearts of Rams fans, of subscribers and all of that. And to make sure that we had things consistently, consistent reminders that like, hey, football is coming back, guys. Football will be back, and we're going to do it in a different way. And we're going to try to do it in a maybe hopefully unique way this year. And so I was kind of laughing about that because I was thinking, I was like, oh my gosh. So I'm about to take a break for the first time in a couple of years, actually. And I'm really excited about it. I am also, again, once more, kind of freaking out, Rich, because I don't know. I think I'm going to get to day two and I'm not going to know what to do with myself. But I think it's so important to recognize when you're really burned out, and it's not for lack of loving what you do. Cause as I think you guys know by now, if you listen to this podcast and you hear all of our idiosyncratic sensibilities, that this is what I live and breathe and love and everything in my life other than Tucker, the co-pilot. But it's like, it also can burn you out. Like, oh man, it can burn you out. Can it?
Yeah, it can. And I think it's a good, we're going to get into football here, but I think this is a good thing for everybody to hear. It's like, I know I hadn't realized it either until a week or so ago. And I took a Friday off for a 3-day weekend. And I went, wow, this is nice. I forgot what this was like to just kind of step away. And whether it's you and I or, anybody out there who's listening, I think we've all kind of fallen into this world where we work, we're working from home, our work life and our home life just blend fun together and you don't separate them anymore and you don't take as much time for yourself. And it is really important to do that. So Jordan, I'm glad that you're doing that. And I hope other people, you know, all of our great listeners take that to heart a little bit too. Hopefully everybody's doing well out there. But Jordan, so you're telling me that it is not a coincidence that you are going to take a little downtime right in this window when Kevin Demoff told us that the new uniform could be released anytime between July 1st and the start of training camp. You're telling me that's just a coincidence, right,
I know,
Jordan?
You know what? When he was on the, I had already requested the time, and it was so funny. When he was on the podcast the other week, I was like, because I'm sitting there and I was like, well, I guess on whatever day that is, I've got a window and it might be after my little break window. I may have timed it really well. Obviously we don't know the exact day that it's coming out, but if it is before training camp, which this is their hope, then July is definitely the month to expect those. And I would probably guess not the very first part of July, because if I'm just looking at it from like a marketing perspective, everybody is kind of taking their vacations right now. If they can, and I hope everybody can. And I think it's kind of funny. We're both sounding very Sean McVay-ish right now in terms of like, you just got to get away from it, guys. You just gotta find some time and just get away from it sometimes and then come back refreshed. And that's my Sean McVay impression, for better or for worse. But I think we're both sounding very McVay-ish, because as we know, like himself and all of the coaches are taking their breaks right now, getting some family time. A lot of people in the organization, this is the time that they recharge, because it is. It's like a roller coaster. And actually, I think the roller coaster won't even start with camp as a whole for the organization in terms of just the fanfare around it. The year starts over again. Football season is back when those new uniforms come out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No question. That'll get everybody
Did
fired
up. Did you get goosebumps when I said that, Rich?
Oh, yeah. It's hard for me to sleep at night, you know, just getting right. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure with everything, you know, fans coming back down there in Irvine, I don't know exactly how that's going to go yet. They haven't really announced what the procedures are, but I'm sure they'll want to show those off down there and everything else. So yeah, it's exciting to talk about that stuff. But everybody, you know, from coaches to players to, you know, even beat reporters want to be in the best mindset and the best you know, attitude going into training camp. So yeah, Jordan. But you know, we've got some stuff to talk about here, and I want to just make sure people, you know, Jordan talking about her work and taking downtime. So much good stuff on the Athletic app and website. I don't even know whether we'll have time to talk about the Terrell Burgess story, but I would encourage everybody to go read that. Just another great in-depth piece from Jordan, getting to know a Rams player and the development of a young player who could be very important even as soon as this season. So go check that out. But Jordan, you had another piece that was really, really interesting, and I think is super relevant to a lot of stuff that's going on. You know, Matthew Stafford and developing his connection. We talked about how important the offseason is. And it's not always what happens on the field. I know Sean McVay talks a lot about the above the shoulders mentality that you have to have. Above the neck, thank you. Yeah. I'm a little out of form here. So yeah, above the neck. But there's two sides of it too, Jordan. I mean, there's the on the field kind of rapport, and then there's the, you know, learning things about each other and developing that chemistry and that you know, Jared Goff had so well with Cooper Kupp and some other receivers. So where are they with that sort of stuff? I know you got some great stuff from Cooper Kupp. Where do you think they are in terms of developing that sort of thing?
Yeah, one thing I really love about interviewing Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp is that they always get it. Like they always get sort of the angle at which I'm approaching a story, big picture. You know, it's not just a perfunctory like Q&A session, and not many of these guys are like that at all. So that's not to say anyone is, but especially those guys, it's almost like you see that's what she's writing about. And then they just give me like a phenomenal answer. And they do that for all the reporters. And like, it's a really, if you guys want to go ever look through and kind of get a feel for the experience, the Rams do post all of the interviews on their website. And it's really fun sometimes to go back and listen. Because when you're in the moment, you're taking notes. It's really fun to go back and listen. They just get especially those two, Robert and Cooper, they just get so into detail and they throw out little details that maybe you missed the first time or you really start to put the pieces together. So one of the examples here was Cooper getting so into detail of what exactly he was studying with Matthew Stafford. And part of the development of the rapport, I mean, there are a million little things between the quarterback receiving the snap, not even calling checks, not even diagnosing, not even communicating with the center, but between specifically when the quarterback receives the snap and then releases the ball out of his hand toward a receiver, there are a thousand little things that can make such a huge difference. And when I noticed in OTAs and in minicamp, you know, Cooper Kupp was probably, I would say, like the lead guy. Robert Woods was in and out of some of the OTAs in terms of working with doing his private work, his separate workouts in the facility, and then being on the sideline and helping coaching guys up versus also taking reps. And it was, you know, these guys are on a program, so it's never helpful to count like the snaps people take in spring workouts because they're all on a very specific program. And so it was very clear that Cooper's part of that programming was to really get that on-field work going in the spring when maybe there weren't as many receivers around. And then once mini camp started, he sort of removed himself out of the offense, as did Robert. And they stood back sort of behind Matthew, behind the line of scrimmage, and they just started diagnosing and looking at how Matthew did things based on the receivers who were sort of copying the routes that Robert and Cooper would run, but they just happened to be second and third team, fourth team receivers. Cooper Kupp would stand and like JJ Koski or somebody would run like a choice route, which is where the receiver can choose which way he breaks based on what he's seeing the defender or defenders in front of him do, what he sees the leverages on the field are. And a lot of times that can set up in sort of a waterfall effect where the rest of the guys on the field go, and especially where the progressions go for the quarterback. And so obviously that has to be something you're really in tune with the quarterback, because the quarterback has to be inside the receiver's head, seeing the same things that he's seeing so he can know where the ball is going. Because again, that's not communicated. It's the receiver's choice after the snap. Cooper would stand back and he had a play sheet, and he went from developing the on-field rapport and very much stacking those building blocks together to then shifting to a completely different part of establishing the timing in the rapport. And that was stepping back and having someone basically like imitate him as a scout teamer, basically. But run those maybe first team reps and run those routes and do those same types of things so that he could then communicate with Matthew, this is what I like to do when I see this. When I see this, this is what I like to do. Here is the place that I like to get the ball. And then Matthew very much collaborating. Oh, what do you see here? Here's what I see. Here's how we can sort of develop our own unique language. Because Cooper has a lot of those types of routes in his tree. Now, on the other hand, Robert Woods runs a lot of yards after the catch, right? So one of the big elements that he worked on with Matthew, and a lot of this happened in the film room because obviously they're running in shorts, there's no pads, there's no contact. So a lot of the yards after the catch work happened in the film room until training camp starts. Well, Robert Woods has gotten so good at this, as one of the guys who leads the league in yak yards every single year, has gotten so good at this that he knows exactly, like down to the inch, where he needs to catch the ball in order to maximize specifically those yards after the catch. Like, how can you catch the ball and at what angle can you catch the ball so where you can tuck and really have the physics of it really are prime in that moment where you can really establish yourself after the catch. And so in the film room, he and Matthew would sort of like pass notes to each other, and he would send Matthew extra cut-ups and everything about like exactly what those windows were. And you could see those items like sort of stacking and building in real time once they got onto the field. And to me, it's just fascinating. And I picked just two receivers for this piece in particular for a reason, not just because they're the number one and number two receivers, but because they do different things in certain ways. And I think that a piece like this shows a very small extrapolation, like maybe a microcosm of he's got to do this with everybody. It's not just these two, right? Yeah. But this is how much there is in just these two guys who do these different things, who maybe seem like they do similar things, but really do different things within the within their route trees and things like that. And not only demonstrating that and how much there is to learn just in that space, but there are going to be at least four other guys, five other guys that Matthew Stafford's getting the ball to, who are not even counting, you know, not even counting the running backs, you know, right. And this isn't, and obviously not even counting like your offensive line and all this. So it, to me, it just start, it establishes just a very small microcosmic level layer of what the magnitude is of what Matthew Stafford is trying to do right now.
Yeah, and it's so important, and that's why I imagine, you know, people, I know people get excited about rookie quarterbacks coming in and like, oh, you want your, but can you imagine what it's like for us?
I cannot.
No. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy, Matthew
you're
Stafford.
You're talking about burnout. Oh my
It's enormous. I mean, you can come in and play, but to come in and play well and thrive and do all these things that you're talking about, you just can't do it. You just can't walk on the field and have it be like, okay, I'm the quarterback, guys. Let's go play some ball. Like you can try that. But if you want to actually thrive and have a connection with your teammates, you have to go through all of these steps that Matthew Stafford and these players are going through. And obviously, Jordan, you're focusing on the receivers in this particular piece. But to some extent, he's got to do it with the offensive line, too, yeah. and have them know, you know, his cadence or, you know, develop a relationship with those centers or even the tackles to know, like, okay, where is he going to slide if he gets some pressure? Is he going to step up? What, you know, like there's all of these things that have to be done in order for that cohesion to take place. And to some extent, Jared Goff had developed that with guys over the last 5 years. And now it completely changes because Matthew Stafford is different in pretty much every way than Jared Goff was. So, yeah, it's you might hear off season and think, oh, yeah, they're just out running around and getting some exercise and getting back in shape. No,
getting the steps in, you know.
Yeah, no, not quite. But, you know, Jordan, the other thing that gets me is, and I'm sure part of this is by design when you're talking about the Rams. I'm certain it is. But you're talking about guys who are really, really smart. And yeah. I don't mean that to that might sound trite, but you know, Robert Woods, I mean I covered Robert Woods briefly at USC during his last year, his last season there. And I remember he was like that then. You know, as a 20-year-old kid or whatever it may be. I mean, reporters would talk to him like he was a coach. Because he was just so smart and knew everything that was going on and could explain everything. I would be shocked. I have no idea what Robert Woods, you know, aspirations are for his post playing days. If he's not a receivers coach, at least, if not more, he absolutely could do that. I mean, he is so technically good and so smart that I think if he desired, he could absolutely, you know, step onto a staff. Cooper Kupp, I mean, from his rookie year with the Rams, I remember people telling me, you know, he wanted to sit in on the quarterbacks meetings as, you know, as a rookie out of Eastern Washington. You know, he wanted to know everything that was going on in the offense. He didn't just want to know what his role was. He didn't just want to know what his routes were. He wanted to know what everybody else was doing on the field. And that's the mindset of maybe even a potential offensive coordinator one day, you know, to where he really understands, wants to understand the entire offense. And of course, Matthew Stafford goes without saying. I mean, the success that he's had over his career. I mean, Sean McVay, it's like, I feel like every day is Christmas for Sean McVay now to have, you know, Matthew Stafford in there and have a guy that we talked about it before. You've written about it several times now, just about the connection and how those two are going to be able to play off of each other. So yeah, it doesn't mean we're talking glowingly here, and it doesn't mean that everything is going to be, you know, perfect once they get on the field in September. But
right.
It's about laying those bricks right now, and that's all you can do right now. It doesn't guarantee anything. Doesn't mean that everything's, you know, they're going to have the number one offense in the NFL. But Jordan's just done a remarkable job, you know, throughout all these stories of explaining, you know, what all the steps that have to be gone through during this period. So, I, you know, fortunately for them, you know, things with COVID went relatively well to where they were able to do pretty much what they wanted to do, I think. Get that work in, you know, be in the video room, which is something they weren't able to do last year. The Rams, no NFL teams were able to do last year. They were doing it all on Zoom or Microsoft tablet or whatever it was. So fortunate for the Rams that they were able to get that time together. And I think we're all fascinated to see how it's going to play out when training camp starts.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yeah, Rich, you know, I do want to say one thing. It did seem like they did get a lot of really good work in. And part of the interesting thing about watching OTAs and minicamp was how they sort of stacked building blocks. And just as one example, especially when it came to like the communication for Matthew, this did not make it in the story because it kind of took it into another direction. And I just wanted to keep everything a little bit more cohesive, especially when it's like 2,200 words. You just want to try to keep it streamlined a little bit. There was an interesting way that they also sort of upped his communication. And part of it, on the one hand, you know, Andrew Whitworth was there, the entire offensive line, we mentioned this on a previous podcast, the entire offensive line was there through the spring. And that's I don't want to say that's rare, but like these are veteran guys. So it was really important that they were there taking the reps, even through a voluntary space. And like Andrew Whitworth was there. And he, as we know, is one of the backbone communicators, not just of the line, but of the offense as a whole. So that was really important. And I think that was an interesting way to sort of establish what the language was, right? Well, then by the time minicamp came around, they actually had removed him from the starting lineup so that, and he was doing workouts on the side and he was sort of coaching on the side and helping some of the younger guys. But it's almost like they removed him so that Matthew could then step in and like own the communication. It was almost like, you know, what do you do without the security blanket almost?
Right.
Like, what do you do without the guy who is always like, oh no, actually that's this, or oh no, actually. And as you're learning, like those first 2 weeks were the first time that Matthew had played live in this offense. So of course you're going to have somebody there who can sort of troubleshoot and guess and check. And between Andrew and Cooper and Robert and some of these guys, like, of course you're going to have someone who can sort of troubleshoot in that way. But then when the reps increase and you get into some of those more live 7-on-7s and those high speed 11-on-11s, that's when you sort of take the training wheels off because you have Andrew out of the lineup at that point. Cooper is not in the lineup at that point. Robert is not in the lineup at that point. The training wheels are off. So it's Matthew commanding things and dictating and directing. So I thought that the way that they stacked those building blocks up together, I thought that was very interesting. And we would also be, I think, quite naive to think that was not totally by design. And to me, those types of details are really interesting. That kind of stuff happens everywhere. But for me, this is the first really in-depth look at a new quarterback coming into a previously like sort of high caliber offense in a while based on actual movement, not injury where it's a backup coming in or anything like that, like based on actual personnel change. So this is fascinating stuff to me. And I also think that everything you said about the receivers are exactly right. And another reason why these two guys, Cooper and Robert, are so valuable, and why it kind of baffles me to hear, like, when some of these rumors get kind of thrown around every offseason, or this offseason maybe has felt like a million years long in terms of like packaging guys in trades or whatever. Like, that's just not, I mean, everyone's talking about everything this time of year. I mean, really, guys, like everyone is just throwing out, people are throwing out like, hey, you know, you ever think about sending Aaron Donald our way? Like, ha, 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 click, hang up the phone. Like, people are just throwing out shit this time of year. And teams are all talking to each other about everything. It's no different for certain high-profile players who come out on the market and are available for trade or what. But it's just, these two guys are so important to the fabric of this offense. Like, the very fabric of it. They're not just their stat lines, guys. And I cannot get over that when I see that on social media or like in certain blogs or whatever. Like, I can't get over that. These guys, these two specifically, I don't know what happens after this year. But first of all, you restructured them both. So, you know, you're doing yourself quite a disservice if you part ways with either of them this offseason because you restructured their money. And second of all, you have a new quarterback. Like,
right.
And you're hosting the Super Bowl. Like, you can't, these are two guys who are crucial to the fabric of what you do on offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just so important. It's not even the things that you see on the field sometimes. And yeah, when people talk about, there's a lot of, you talk about those rumors, Robert Woods' name gets thrown around a lot. Like, yeah, okay. But when you have that, and I think we even talked about it on a podcast a while ago, how I kind of came around on that myself. I kind of looked at that and went, yeah, Robert Woods, I mean, he's a good receiver, you know, like, you know, probably don't want to lose him if you can. But then you actually look at it and like, wow, you're going to be losing a lot if you let go of Robert Woods. And I think the Rams saw the same thing. And like, I don't want to cast aspersions on anybody in particular, but you know, you look at other receivers the Rams have had in, really, really good receivers, Brandon Cooks, like Sammy Watkins. And they just didn't have, they were big play receivers, but they just never really seemed totally integrated into the offense. And again, I'm not going to speculate on why that was, or there's no blame to be attached to any one particular person. The only reason I bring it up is just to kind of present the contrast of, like, you see how guys like Woods and Kupp, they just, like, everything that happens on the field, it looks very natural. It looks like that, you know, everybody's exactly on the same page, you know, and when you see that, the idea of parting with it just seems ridiculous. Like, why would you do that? Why would you part with this when you have something that's so difficult to find and so difficult to maintain? And you just don't know if you bring in, I mean, I know everybody is excited about, you know, bringing in some certain other receivers who had very large names and had success in other places, but you just don't know. You don't know what it's going to look like when you bring them into your locker room, into your system, into your huddle. You don't know what that's going to look like. And when you already have it, the idea of changing it and parting with it, it's scary a little bit. And I think maybe that's part of what the Rams are looking at, saying, well, why would we mess with this if it's something that really works?
Here's how I think I would maybe explain it. And it's all very good points too that you made, because it's certainly not for lack of interest in players who become available. Like, this is how I would envision the conversation going. Like, hey, would you ever want to trade for Julio? Bleep yeah, man, that would be awesome. Yeah, that'd be great. See what's up. Yeah bro, see what's up with that. see what that might cost. Oh well, you know, here's this and this, here's the other teams who are involved, we've had, you know, I've asked, we've talked about it, they've asked me, here's the situation. Oh yeah, no, we're out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's really, it's sometimes that simple. And I don't, you know, it just sometimes is that simple. And that's the thing, because it's not for lack of wanting to get better in every facet, because I think everybody, every team should always be trying to get better in every facet. Even if you are, you know, returning Super Bowl champions, like I think you always want to be doing that and want to be exploring what the possibilities are. One thing after that, this year will be really interesting to watch, I think, Robert and Cooper both. Next year will be interesting in terms of how does the team structure maybe sort of change? Because we know that there are a couple guys that they've now brought in who will be waiting in the wings, and do they emerge? And also, you know, we know what the Rams kind of are in terms of veterans. It's very rare. Andrew Whitworth maybe being one of the exceptions. And then obviously the quarterback, you pay for veterans long-term. Like part of some of the Rams methodology has been maybe offloading veteran players before they start to, you know, as they hit their peak, right before they start their maybe decline in that peak.
Right.
And trying to gauge where that is. Now, I don't know. I'm certainly not a smart enough football mind to know specifically what that means in terms of receivers. But I do think that while this year production-wise will be really, I think, could be very special for both Robert and Cooper and for Matthew Stafford, it also could be, you know, this could be the year to try to get it done, because we just don't know what's going to happen long term after that. This was kind of the year, because you restructured them, this was kind of the year where you needed to make sure they're locked in, right? And sure. And that's, you know, that becomes, you don't, it's very difficult to get rid of that financially at this point. But then what happens after this year, I think, is going to be really interesting to watch. And then to your point earlier on Stafford, I was kind of laughing because I was like, you know what? If this thing fails, if this like totally implodes and we're just watching a spiral this season somehow, maybe it's injury or like whatever.
Right.
And, or maybe if it's not, just not like maybe good enough, nobody, and I'm requesting this now, nobody will be able to come out there and say, well, the media hyped up Stafford too much.
Because oh, no.
Sean McVay is the one doing that.
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
so excited about this guy, clearly. I mean, it's not just his comments a couple weeks ago that I think we've all gotten over. But,
right.
you know, talking to the MMQB, you know, talking about how excited he is and how he feels younger, like 30, feels 30 again and all this stuff. And like, he's really clearly very, very excited about this guy. And I think it's fine. Like, it's fine to be publicly excited about it. But I don't want to hear about how this was a media creation a year from now if it all goes down the toilet.
Oh, absolutely. No, he, Matthew Stafford, I'm not even sure Matthew Stafford's mom likes Matthew Stafford as much as Sean McVay does. So there's no question about that. And that's what's, yeah, that, you know, we covered the Jared Goff thing, you know, last week. But yeah, I really think that's what it was. It's not, there's no thought in my mind that Sean McVay intended to crap on Jared Goff. It's just he literally is so excited about Matthew Stafford that he can't contain himself. So yeah, we'll see where that goes. But there's no question about it. Like, yeah, Sean McVay, he got what he wanted. This is what he wanted. And I'm not saying that other people in the organization weren't on board with it or didn't agree, but he certainly got what he wanted in this case. So yeah, if it doesn't go well, nobody will be able to say, oh yeah, the media was hyping up that Rams offense. There was no way it was going to be as good as the media was saying it was going to be. Nope. No. This is all of this is being generated, by the Rams, and specifically by their head coach. So can't wait to see how that turns out. But Jordan, can we pivot to the other side of the ball a little bit?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because there's
you know I'm defensive biased. So
that's right.
I love talking about it.
There's another situation here that's really interesting to track, and it, again, is kind of plays out behind the scenes, and I know it's something that you've been tracking real closely, and well, I guess we'll call it the green dot, meaning that defensive signal caller, and we've seen it change hands now. This will be the third year in a row, because it went from Corey Littleton under Wade Phillips, and obviously Corey went and signed with the Raiders, and then it went to John Johnson, and John Johnson left and signed with Cleveland, and now, of course, a new defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris, coming in. Where do you think the Rams are with that, and is there a point where they need to make a decision on that, just for the sake of starting to to get that voice and you know, to have that voice on the field? Like, where are you at with that?
Yeah, you know, something I really like about this fan base is that they are asking these questions. Like, you know, it's a smart question to ask. Like, who's going to be the signal caller? Because I think you saw, and sure, with Corey, certainly, but especially knowing and seeing how Brandon Staley's defense sort of unfolded in its various complexities, and then all of the rotating and all of the position shifting and all of the, you know, the post-snap rotations and shifts and all of the things that the traffic that has to be negotiated, right? You really saw how crucial that job is. And John Johnson was one of the best, if not the best in the league at getting through that communication and negotiating that extra space and getting his guys through traffic. And then also sort of acting as like sort of a master key to help unlock various versatile players in the secondary, such as Jalen Ramsey, and then Troy Hill helped with that as well. And so that guy is so important, and it can't be understated too how much that helped having a John Johnson when everything is being installed virtually, and having him just get it and click and like have him be able to then not just get it, but like communicate it to everybody else so well. And now they'll get a little bit more on-field work. And they're also, I don't think, going to be changing a lot about what that the defense last year did. I had speculated this previously, but I do think maybe you'll see a little bit different ways that they manufacture pressure. Brandon Staley didn't blitz a lot, but I think Raheem maybe is some of his trademarks are like he's maybe a little bit more aggressive in that regard. And so, you know, you might see just the ways that they maybe design and manufacture pressure. You might see that be a little bit different, especially with some of the linebackers. If they can stay healthy, like a Traven Howard, if he can stay healthy and come in on some of those packages, and Terrell Burgess staying healthy, maybe coming in on some of those packages. But, you know, I think that for the most part, the language, it's beneficial for this defense that a lot of the language is the same and a lot of the concepts are the same and they're doing similar things. And I think that's really, really going to be helpful in not only establishing sort of layers upon that and building layers upon that, but also in establishing who the signal caller is going to be. Now, I do get a lot of questions about it, and people rightfully guess, you know, would it be Taylor Rapp? Would it be Terrell Burgess? Would it be Jordan Fuller? All three guys who, now that we've seen how well it can work when a safety does it, obviously you sort of gravitate toward that. I do, however, want to make sure that it's when we are looking at this specifically, the player who wears the helmet mic has to be on the field the entire game, will be playing 100% of the defensive snaps the entire game. Doesn't mean he's staying at safety the entire game,
right,
or linebacker or whatever, but he's playing the entire game. Now you need to go back and look at some of the rotations that are probably going to be similar as they were last year, you know, obviously removing some of the guys who were here last year and plugging in different guys. For example, Taylor Rapp will probably come in and maybe play a little bit more of that, you know, starting safety alongside Jordan Fuller, but Terrell Burgess will as well. But Terrell Burgess will also probably play more of that Troy Hill role that Kevin Demoff was talking to us about, as sort of an all-around defensive back who, I'm not saying they're going to put him at outside corner, for example, but playing in the nickel, playing that all-around sort of guy who can unlock other versatile pieces, and certainly playing in the nickel, certainly playing safety alongside Jordan Fuller. But that requires a rotation. When you're coming into nickel and dime packages, that requires a rotation of other players.
Yeah.
And the common denominator, guys, and again, like, let's look at snap counts. The common denominator is Jordan Fuller, because Jordan Fuller does not leave the field.
Right.
And if you're thinking it's going to be a safety who is going to be calling defensive signals and not a linebacker, which I would assume based on the way that they sort of scheme away from their linebackers and the way that they sort of try to maybe take some of the load off of their inside linebackers, knowing that that's not a position that they are investing in. And they do have a really promising rookie who they drafted who's going to come in. But again, he's a rookie. So let's temper expectations for this year specifically. The common denominator in all of these rotations, the player who does not leave the field, other than Jalen Ramsey, who, hell, could do it, could call the signal, could probably could probably tell the opposing quarterback where he's throwing the ball before he throws the ball. Other than Jalen Ramsey, you know, doing that, Jordan Fuller is the common denominator on the field who does not come off the field.
Yeah, it's funny. I had actually written down Jalen Ramsey's name here, and I'm like, should I say that or not?
But I feel that would be so cool, though. Like,
talk about somebody who never leaves the field, and you know, he certainly knows the defense and could get everybody lined up. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of process all that. Going back, however you would say it historically or whatever. I mean, it's traditionally been more of a linebacker who fills that role, but we've seen that evolve over time, and even with the Rams, we've seen it evolve and change here to where obviously you know John Johnson did a good job calling the signals last year. So Jordan Fuller would seem to be a natural one. It's a big ask, you know, for a young guy like that in his second season to come in and do that. It's because it's so important, and you need to be able to be a good communicator. You need to be able to take charge and, you know, not be afraid to not yell at people in a bad sense, but, you know, get on people and make sure that they're in the right spots. And if they're doing something wrong, you need to be able to tell them. So it's a big role. And, you know, that's why John Johnson, his voice was so strong. And you know, people ask that question about Corey Littleton, too, when he got the green dots. Like, wow, Corey's kind of a quiet guy. You know, he wasn't known for being real, real loud and real outgoing and things like that. But he was very smart. He still is very smart, but was able to kind of diagnose things and maybe fix some things on the field. So you want to have that combination. You want to have that combination of somebody who's, you know, going to be vocal and be able to, you know, fix things or tell people things, but also be smart and see what's going on the field. So real important job, real difficult job. But yeah, when you look at it, Jordan, I'm not real sure. A lot of it could depend on how those linebacker positions play out. I mean, I looked at a guy like Micah Kizer, and I think he certainly kind of has the pedigree to do that sort of thing. But don't know. We don't know how that situation is going to play out. How often, you know, what's the percentage of plays that he's going to be on the field, or what's the rotation going to look like there? So, yeah, I don't know. Do you think that's something that you want to have in place? I'm sure they've thought about it. I'm sure they're thinking about it right now. But is that something you want to have in place by the time training camp starts, or can you kind of maybe even test out a couple guys there and see how that looks?
I think you test out guys. The thing that was interesting about training camp last year, obviously it was, they were trying to fit a lot of work into a short period of time. So it might be a little bit different this year. Everybody had a helmet mic, right? Like Brandon Staley had like this big giant walkie talkie, and every guy was on a different channel. And then there was like a main channel, and all the linebackers, all the middle linebackers had a helmet mic, and several of the safeties had a helmet mic. It wasn't necessarily that was determined by when training camp started, but I think John was a clear front runner in that, just by nature of his personality, stepping up in meetings and things like that, and just fit so naturally into the space. And then when they installed the scheme and it was clear that he was going to be on the field the entire time, earned the job. Like he earned the job, because there was, you know, a couple of other guys who did play all the snaps, but John Johnson very much did earn that job. So that's going to be one thing that I caution fans. I know everybody's going to be able to watch practices now. And I do love that this is a detail that fans are looking for, but I do caution fans that everybody's going to have a helmet mic. So don't get excited when you see guys talking in their helmet mics or in the walkie talkie or anything like that right away. Cause it's all by design. Everything's going to be sort of installed block by block. And one interesting part of training camp too is, and I don't know how the Rams will do it, I guess I'll see, but I remember when I covered the Panthers, 1 week of camp. And this is, I told this story on a previous podcast, but it's like one of my favorite stories. One of the weeks of camp is spent installing maybe for your first one or two opponents, because you're trying to get a jump on things. Last year, this couldn't happen because you're just trying to get your own shit taken care of. Right. Like, it was so much, time was so truncated that you just had to try to get all your own stuff. I remember before the season opener, Panthers-Rams, and the Panthers were scrimmaging with the Bills. They had like the joint practices, and that was so much fun. And man, those Bills fans traveled. Oh my God, thousands of them in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Yeah. And they were like, oh my God, this Southern humidity is no joke. But it was loud and it was fun. And the Bills were really starting to come into their own. And it was so fun to watch that defense, because talk about an athletic defense. I mean, they were fun to watch. And I was talking with Captain Munnerlin, who was with the Panthers formerly and then was playing for the Bills, who like signed all of these Panthers players.
Right.
Carolina North. And we were talking about how they were installing for the Rams that week. And I started noticing that Ron Rivera was putting an extra defensive back on the field. Now, I had tracked, like Ron Rivera loves to be a nickel, and he loves a big nickel, which he calls Buffalo, and that was sort of Shaq Thompson's position. Mm-hmm. And so he loves that, but they have not, four or five years that he was the head coach running that defense, and Sean McDermott as well, coming from that tree, they had not played a single snap of dime. And Buffalo had played two snaps of dime since Sean McDermott took over as head coach. No dime. Yeah. But the really cool thing was they were about to open the season against a team that was using more 11 personnel than any other team in the league and was changing the way that the league valued 11 personnel. And you need to defend that a lot of times in dime. And so they installed a dime package with Ross Cockrell, who, good for him, just won a Super Bowl in Tampa. But they installed a dime package specifically with Ross Cockrell that last week of training camp, specifically for the Rams. And, you know, it was a good battle too. It wasn't a good game. It was a terrible game, but it was like, you know, they gave it, you know, they especially were running it on third down, and especially bringing in this specific dime package that they had installed that last week of camp. So that is one of the most fun things for me about getting a real preseason, getting a real training camp, is you can start to see some of the pieces get put into place. Now, I probably won't be allowed to report them live.
Yes.
I wasn't able to write the Panthers story until after they played the Rams. So,
right.
Just by nature of access rules. But, you know, just little things that you start to fill your notebook with, and little things that fans will be able to see. And I'm so excited for that. And things that you start to watch, these little clues get put together in training camp. You know, green dot aside, all of the little pieces that have to start assembling and really start to be constructing I'm going to just keep saying this, and it's probably annoying by now, but all the little building blocks and the little Lego pieces that you start stacking up, that's the time of year where it starts to happen.
Yeah, absolutely, Jordan. I mean, what do you think? Training camp will be, they'll be on the field in a month, and it's coming fast. We've talked about a couple of really important areas here. Is there anything else that you're looking at? I'll tell you one thing that I'm looking at is kind of how that defensive line rotation is going to look. And it's been an interesting thing over the last few years. I mean, even before Eric Henderson was there, how the Rams kind of rotated those guys. They obviously used to have more of a traditional four-man front, and now everything's changed quite a bit under Brandon Staley. And now, of course, not having Michael Brockers on the field for the first time in a decade, pretty much, is going to change things. You still have Aaron Donald, A'shaun Robinson back, Sebastian Joseph Day back, Greg Gaines is back, and then they've added a couple rookies to that mix. There's other guys who are kind of on the fringe of the roster, like an Eric Banks, somebody like that. So there's a lot of bodies there. You look at the Rams roster and that defensive front, there are a lot of options. I am very curious to see how exactly those guys line up. I'm very curious to see how Sebastian Joseph Day in particular maybe handles a bigger role. I'm not necessarily talking about snaps, but just you know, a bigger role within that defense, more responsibilities, more expectations. I'm curious to see how the rookies fit in, exactly if they can get into that rotation, percentage of snaps might one of them be able to play, or both of them. I'm curious about Greg Gaines, a guy who's kind of came in with some pretty high expectations. People were even talking about him as being a potential starter as a rookie, and it didn't really pan out that way. And he's kind of had spot duty over the last little while here. A lot of little interesting, intriguing storylines for me there, Jordan, within that defensive front. So is there anything like that you're going to be kind of particularly keeping your eye on once camp starts?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's such a good one, Rich, to focus on and such big questions to answer there as guys sort of step up into the expectation that has been set year over year by Eric Henderson and that staff. And I think on the other side of the ball, Kevin Demoff gave us a little bit of crap for it. I'm going to keep harping on it. The offensive line. Yeah. You can have all the fluff pieces you want out about the Rams offensive line or any position, really, any position on the field. You could have none of it matters until they actually start playing against actual action. These practices against the Raiders and the Cowboys are going to be so important because they're padded practices, and still in training camp, you don't go, you know, all out like you would in a game, but it's more important to get those snaps. Not just as this offensive line, but particularly the way that they've moved around their interior. I do not worry about Andrew Whitworth. I really don't worry about Rob Havenstein, but the interior specifically. Austin Corbett, who has been drawing a lot of praise, and so by coaches and by teammates, so I'm not at all detracting from that. But none of what we say about the offensive line, even my criticism of the decisions that they've made to sort of create those two question marks. I think Austin Corbett's a great offensive lineman. The question is, can he be a great center? Right?
Yeah.
And I think Bobby Evans has so much potential. The question is, can he step into this major, major role there at right guard? So to me, even the criticism, that doesn't matter. The good stuff, the bad stuff, none of it matters until we actually see what there is to see when these guys are playing actual football, not in shorts, clacking pads against some other guys. You know, the first day that you go against Aaron Donald in live pads drills, what happens, you know? So that's really what matters. And so we can harp on it all we want, or we could praise it all we want. Probably a little bit of both. And all that matters is what that actually looks like in its full execution and iteration once the real stuff actually starts happening. So it's going to be a long observation process in that regard. But that's still my number one. One of the things that kind of keeps popping up into my brain is I remember when LaFleur took over in Green Bay. And then the first year, that offense kind of had its ups and downs, and it was something totally different than what Aaron Rodgers was used to. And, you know, some of the stuff that came out was, and I might be misremembering this, so correct me if I'm wrong, but it was like, oh, he's, you know, not happy sometimes with the offense, and he's doing stuff that he doesn't want to do. And then the next year, he really bought in and had this MVP season. I'm completely paraphrasing, but to me, I don't think the buy-in is an issue at all. And I think that Matthew has had a lot of different guys running offenses that he is okay with adjusting and doing things somewhat differently at times than maybe he has before. But it's, you just don't know how it's going to work. You could have, again, you could have Aaron Rodgers running your offense in his first year, and it could still stumble at times, right? And it could still stutter and have different things that maybe didn't quite meet the expectations of when the new guy, in this case, Matt LaFleur, came in with an MVP caliber quarterback. Well, how does it work in the first year differently for everybody, of course? But I do think about that and at times with, you know, how is this all going to click together? How can they get all cylinders firing smoothly at one time? And I do think, again, the receivers are such a huge part of that. And them being so cohesive is such a huge part of that. I think Andrew Whitworth is a huge part of that. And Matthew Stafford himself is a huge part of that. So that's obviously the number one overarching question is, how is this going to work? Can this group at least meet, if not exceed, the expectations, the very lofty expectations that have been set for them? And how do all of these things click together? you know, you don't necessarily have to be setting records every game, but you need to be efficient and you need to be cohesive and you need to avoid, you know, inefficiencies in decision-making, inefficiencies in whether that's the play call or the execution. Avoiding inefficiencies, especially in that first part of the season, is really part of the way that you build momentum down the stretch.
Yeah, no question about it. And that's why training camp is so awesome to watch, and really excited that, you know, fans get to watch some of those practices. And yeah, if you really, I always like to focus in on a position group, and to watch those offensive linemen in particular is super interesting sometimes. I mean, it's not the most exciting things sometimes to watch, but to really watch their drills and then their rotations and things like that, I always learn a lot from watching them. So I think it'll be a super interesting thing to track during training camp. And Jordan, I know you're going to be all over it, and your coverage during the off season has been fantastic, and here we are right on the cusp of getting back on the field and watching some football again. So everybody, please, if you haven't already, follow along with Jordan on Twitter at Jordan Rodrigue. And of course, you are going to want to keep track of all of Jordan's coverage on The Athletic. You can do that by going to theathletic.com/11personnel. And Jordan, if you go there and you're not a subscriber, what can you get?
Oh my gosh, my favorite thing in the world, Rich, a discount, a great deal. You can always get a discount on your Athletic subscription when you subscribe through the 11 Personnel podcast. And guys, just because I'm taking a little bit of a break here, clearing my head out a little bit, clearing my notebook out a little bit, getting new batteries in the old recorders, metaphorically and physically, literally. I still am going to have some stuff coming out over the next couple weeks that I am really, really excited about. One of the projects I've been working on for a little while that touched on some of my time sort of embedded at the Quarterback Collective back in May that we talked about on this podcast. Met a lot of up and coming coaches who I think you guys will be really interested in learning more about. And so I've pre-written some of that. That's going to come out, we hope, the first week of July, maybe after the holiday. And then there's also a lot to talk about getting ready for camp in terms of breaking down these positions. And so we're going to definitely, I've been working a little extra this week to try to make sure that there's some content that's pre-written for you guys, so that if you are a subscriber, and we so appreciate you supporting us, that you are definitely not getting a gap in your coverage. And that is really important to me. I know it's really important to Rich. And we're just happy to have you. We can't wait until, you know, the next time that you hear our voices, they will be dripping with excitement, whether it's an emergency podcast episode dissecting the new uniforms, or whether it's us breaking down everything you need to know about Rams training camp on the eve of training camp itself. And in the meantime, you guys can always find me on Twitter. You can always find Rich on Twitter, although he has been smart about taking breaks from time to time from social media. And please don't forget to go leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You can also find bonus content over there on Apple Podcasts, a mailbag, a lot of content across all of our podcast platforms for subscribers. And as always, we really appreciate you guys, and we'll catch you next time.